Jeff Chittister, and New Hampshire Perspective.
And welcome back to New Hampshire Perspective. Jeff Chittister with you as always. Please don't forget to check us out online, jeffchittister.com, 96.7thewave.com, WGIRAM.com. Listen to us online. You can listen to us on the radio. And also, don't forget, if you have a smartphone, use your iHeart application. You can download that at any one of those sites that I mentioned. And any of the information that I mentioned during a segment, don't be afraid. Don't try to jot it down while you're driving down the road. We're going to link those up on our page so you can have that information readily available to you. Well, guess what? One of the biggest stories probably, I mean, we're just so early into 2012, but one of the biggest stories and probably will be one of the top five stories at the end of the year is voter fraud. Of course, we know that James O'Keefe came into our state, did some filming, was able to get certainly some ballots based on people who had already deceased. But guess what? This is not the only person out there who's been an advocate and a strong watchdog against voter fraud. Of course, who I'm talking about right now is a gentleman we've talked to in the past, Ed Nail. He's from the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers. This man has been out there for more than 10 years, focusing a large spotlight on the issue of voter fraud. Unfortunately, just like what is going on with James O'Keefe, he has either been ridiculed or threatened with legal action, which is unfortunate that this is how our state decides to respond to this issue. So I'm pleased to be welcoming Ed Nail. Ed, how are you fine, sir?
Very good, Jeff. I'm glad we're getting around to this subject, and I'm happy that James O'Keefe decided to pick New Hampshire.
Well, you know, James is a real humble guy, and he admits that he knows of your work. He knows of certainly what you guys have been out there trying to do for the last 12 years. And I wanted to put a spotlight on it a little bit as well. What James O'Keefe did is certainly, you know, getting a lot of attention. He has that kind of robust ability in the media. But what you've been doing is far more important. Tell us a little bit about the history of how you got involved in focusing on voter fraud in New Hampshire.
Well, in 2000, the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers was having people come to our meetings and talk about voter fraud. And I was always, I saw this and I saw that, and say, okay, fine, do you have any documentation of it? Well, no, but there were out-of-state plates on this vehicle and all that. So we said, you know, why don't we just sit down, and everybody who has something tangible, bring it in. We'll be the clearinghouse for it, and we'll track it. And we just happened to have, you know, just done that in 2000 during the purge, the 10-year purge of the voters you take off the list.
Right.
Haven't voted in 4 years, and we just did that. I think they took a quarter of a million off in the state of New Hampshire. So there was, in the beginning, we just had some stuff come in, like voters in Deerfield that used an imaginary road and an imaginary address on that road through the vote. There was over a dozen of them. It was between 12 and 19, somewhere in that neighborhood. I have the original letters in the office someplace. We have plenty of photocopies of those letters we hand out.
Right.
And we backtracked those same-day voter registration cards from when they walked in. So it was all these people at, I think it was 156 Bear Brook Road in Deerfield, which never has, and as far as we know, doesn't exist at this time. But we had, previous to that, the CNHT had a case in around 1999 where there was a vote in Henniker to an additional school. It was a $1.25 million vote. And they held the vote, and at the end of the evening, the moderator, who's an attorney, walked over, closed the doors, and said, that's the end of the voting. Well, there's still six people inside the hall, and they said, well, we're inside the building. We have a right to vote. He said, well, I already declared an end to the voting. And they said, well, excuse me, we're in line ready to vote. So he said, okay, fine, I'll let you vote. And he kept the six votes in his ballot. And I'm sorry, the ballots in his pocket. So the $1.25 million bond passed by six votes. We helped a guy pro se take that to court without an attorney in front of Judge Convoy, and she flipped that vote. She said she was very interested in the six ballots that the moderator kept in his pocket, and we trained him right in my living room to do that. So that was one of the very first incidents of officials involved in voter fraud.
Well, and that's the larger thing. Once again, we're talking to Ed Nail. We're going to make sure we post the information up online about Ed and certainly the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers, a great group. Their website is, you can go to cnht.org. That's cnht.org. Don't worry about writing that down. We'll post it up online and give that information out again. But that's the bigger picture, too, Ed. When you look at just the different ways that fraud happens, you're focusing on the whole spectrum of fraud that is out there. Just not the littler ones that we saw like in with James O'Keefe's video. You're looking at the bigger picture of officials withholding ballots or doing things that are improper during the elections as well, aren't you?
Yeah, it comes in different phases.
Sure.
You have election officials like the school district clerk in November of 2003 who set up an illegal polling station at the Bedford Dump. Here he is on a card table with a sign that says vote here today from 9 to 3 and a stack of absentee ballots on the table and a checklist. And he was acting as though he was the ballot clerk. You know, he was the school district clerk. And the law is specific to absentee ballots in the school election. They are to be handled through the town clerk's office, not the school district clerk. So that was totally illegal, and we turned him into the Attorney General's office, and they sent him a letter, and we got a copy that said it was highly irregular but not illegal. Well, it's clearly illegal. You know, you can't set up a polling station at the dump and not announce it and have a rail for people to line up, a check-in, check-out, a police officer. There's, you know, advertisements in the paper. There's all kinds of things that you have to go through to have a satellite voting station, but you know, it was just one of those unique situations that the AG failed to prosecute. So well, that becomes law then.
Yeah, we're going to talk a little bit about the AG and some of the things that are a little, I guess, I'll be polite. You don't have to be. There are some concerning issues as far as the AG. But I want to talk about, you know, you're out there, you know, you have people like Jane Akins and a few other people that are out there being really strong advocates. And eventually what you gather is that it might be better if you had an army with you. So you've gone through the process, too, of, you know, taking everything that you've learned through looking at voter fraud and putting together workshops. I've seen you do one-on-one education. I've seen you talk to people over the phone, and certainly you're always willing to do emails or chat any way you can to help people out. But you've also made it a little bit more official where you've brought together a workshop. Talk about your workshops. You know, how did you decide to bring them together? What is the content of those? And if people are interested in hosting one of those workshops, how willing you would be if they got a group together to help you out?
We've held them. We did workshops in the past before this,
right,
on the right to know law and budget committees and how to draft a warrant article and town process, all kinds of things. All the municipal stuff we normally deal with, assessments. We have a great assessment workshop. But we started doing the voter fraud workshops when you accumulated so much stuff, there was no way to get it all out. It comes in so many different shapes and sizes. You have non-resident students voting here. You have election officials involved, you have ballot people involved, and the lack of prosecution, and you have all the things around the fringe that happen. So it takes about an hour and a half to go through what we have now without really boring into it. And we have, you can check case law, federal cases in regarding your challenging. When there's as much right to challenge a voter you think is stealing a vote as you do to a vote itself. They're co-equal.
Right.
So the federal courts have already determined that. So, and there's court cases all over the country about how long you have to live in a place before you vote, stuff like that. So it's very complicated. We offer an opportunity at our voter workshops for people to say, you know what, I was a ballot clerk one time or for 10 or 15 years, and I think this is a problem that needs to be exposed, and let them work on it. But you really can't take people and say, this is what you should do, and then wade into an election and point people out you think are non-residents. And you don't want to try and disenfranchise somebody, and I don't think we ever have.
Right.
I'd love to see someone who's been disenfranchised by CNHT, and if you can find one person, I'll find you 10 who voted illegally here. I have confessions, you know, I have names, police reports, I have a ton of stuff. So I'd be glad to match document for document whatever we have against any supposed disenfranchisement.
Well, and once again, we're talking to Ed now. We're going to make sure we post that information out for the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers. Ed has been one of I'm just going to say it, he's been the strongest advocate I know of, not only in New Hampshire, but across the nation, on trying to make sure that we have fair and just elections. And what that means, sadly, is that we have to focus on the issue of voter fraud. And, you know, you told me a story, too, Ed. You were on earlier this week on one of my other radio shows. You told me a story about how, you know, you've been inside, actually, you know, when the voting process is going on and had some contention about some of the ballots that are being cast and how officials really dismiss, you know, people like you and advocates who are trying to make sure fair elections are happening.
I almost got arrested. I had a moderator in Goffstown bring a police officer over to me and tell me he was going to have me arrested for getting too close to people counting ballots. And he had a polling place set up, and I was sent there, you know, by a candidate to observe. And I said, well, you just hold on. I'll go out to my van and get the election laws to the officer. I said, then we'll see who's going to be arrested around here. So when I came back in, they had actually locked the door and locked me out. And so I went around the back of the school, which was under construction. I found a way in, just rattling doors. The door was open. I went in. When I went past the door I was trying to get in, that was rattling. Someone was trying to enter. So I opened it from the inside, and it was an AP wire service reporter. So I said, you might want to come with me. So we went to the moderator and the police officer, and I said, here's the statute which allows me to observe from 6 feet away. You have no rail set up. You know, this is a complete mess in here. So you're not arresting me for anything. And I said, don't ever lock me out of a polling place again. And he said, I never locked you out. And I said, well, this person might want to differ with that. And she's a reporter from AP Wire Service. So she got a nice little story, you know. So she was right there when it happened. By there and up in Hanover, we had some problems. We challenged over 400 people up there when the moderator wouldn't let us observe. She made us sit in chairs. And I don't believe that's legal to pin down someone representing the Republican Party under RSA 666. I had my documentation. When I introduced myself to Moderator Black, a young co-ed had just walked up to her and said, my apartment is in Vermont. My driver's license says Wisconsin or Minnesota, one of those two. She goes, but I go to school here at Dartmouth. Can I vote here? And the moderator said, yes, not knowing who I was. And I said, well, hello, Mrs. Black. I have some news for you. I'm here from the Republican Party as a poll watcher, and you just let that person who confessed to not being a resident vote here. And she goes, well, that's my rule. And I said, well, then we're off to a bad start already. That's just completely illegal.
Well, and it's stuff like that. And the bigger picture, too, Ed, is that you go around and really you try to be, and like I said, I've met you a couple times and we've talked, and I find you to be, you know, certainly a man of really high integrity and just trying to keep these elections fair. But one of the problems we have trying to overcome in New Hampshire is, oftentimes, when you bring up the fact that many of us know that voter fraud is happening and the different ways that it is happening, a lot of people come back with the argument, Ed, that, well, you know, the Attorney General has looked into this and he says voter fraud doesn't happen at all in New Hampshire. And that in itself is a huge misrepresentation of what one of the obstacles that you've had tried to overcome, isn't it?
Yeah, when I first ran for office in New Hampshire, in the town I live in Deering, I put my dollar in, you know, and I said, okay, fine, I'll make some signs. And I ran for office. And election day, I walked in to vote, and the supervisor of the checklist was sitting there with my opponent's button on, her blouse, and was telling people not to vote for me because I was a liar. She said she knew me personally and not to vote for me, and then the other guy running with me because he couldn't read or write or do math. So she did this to everybody who came in, and then when they checked out, I talked to some of them. And she did it at our cooperative school district election, too. So she was down there, and she was turned in by the moderator, Russ Galpin from Hillsborough. She was turned in by the moderator of Deering, Chuck Gates, to the Attorney General's office. And they simply wrote her a letter saying, don't do it again. So from that point on, her crowd in town called all their friends up and said that I had made a false accusation, and the AG's office refused to prosecute. That's how the Attorney General's office, failure to act, harms individuals like myself. You know, a normal person would just say, okay, that's it, I'll never running again. Well, for me, that was a long time ago, and I'm still at it. So that was their problem. They created a monster at that point, and I have, in fact, only run into other people who've had that same type of problem, and now we've formed a group, and we've kept this stuff. So our argument is undeniable. Their actions are indefensible.
And once again, we're talking to Ed Nail, and you can find out more by going to the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers website, and that's cnht.org, cnht.org, or go to your search engine and type in Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers, and you'll find their website. They also have a location at 8 North Main Street in Concord, New Hampshire. Okay, so Ed, where do we go from here? I mean, James O'Keefe certainly, his focus on what he did has brought this to the forefront, but like I said, you've been in the trenches, you know, past a decade. Where do we go from here?
Well, we need grassroots public movement on this. You need to call your representatives, your state senator, your state rep, your executive counselor, and make sure that the people you're electing in the next election. We have a anti-income and sales tax pledge. Well, now we're going to have an anti-fraud pledge. I think everybody's for that anyway. It's over 70% of New Hampshire citizens that would like to see voter ID and clean elections. It's a almost a no-brainer. And I think the legislature, everybody in the legislature, has a stake in this. So I imagine running for office and having a box of ballots disappear, you lose. And, you know, once you're the loser, you're branded the loser, and the press doesn't want to talk to you, and you just quietly are supposed to go away and never raise your head again. So we need to keep this in the spotlight. O'Keefe has really set off a real short fuse, and it's exploded in the AG's face, the Secretary of State's face, and the Governor Lynch, who's vetoed voter ID, and the upcoming election for re-election, I imagine, for Jeanne Shaheen, who, when she was governor, vetoed voter ID three times. We need to make sure that the next time you elect a governor, voter ID is on the top of his or her list.
Well, I mean, and you've researched an awful lot of this. How much does voter ID help?
I think that a lot of people, when I went up to Hanover, and they were aware of myself, another gentleman named Joe Frazier, and I forget the other guy's name, that were sitting in there and were actually writing down the names and keeping track of stuff, you would see students come in to a cluster, and they would all talk to each other and stare at you, you know, talk to each other, look at you again, and you, like, we were the focal point of the evening. So then they would leave. So I think some of them went in on a lark. You know, they're rounded up by college professors and recruiters on campus.
Oh, yeah.
They round them up like cattle. And in Durham, they put a sticker on you when you vote, which makes it very easy. When you see a couple of college kids on the corner not wearing their "I just voted" sticker, then you round them up and bring them down to vote. I think they would say, well, you know, voter ID, like O'Keefe's guys. When the O'Keefe people came in from Project Veritas and said, do you have Mr. Paul Bergeron on your list? And they'd say, yes. And they would say, are you still at 4 Wagon Wheel Drive? And you would say, yes. And then you would get your ballot. Or you'd say, no, thank you, I'll get my ID. Well, if at least ID where you live. If you handed them a driver's license and it said New Jersey, well, then that's not the address you're voting from. At least that would catch up on it. But, you know, photo ID is a way to go, and I think it cuts it down tremendously. Most states that have photo ID, their problems are absentee ballots.
Right.
A lot of your voter fraud in the other states are absentee ballots. So here in New Hampshire, our system is so fraudulently open, you don't need to mess around with all absentee ballots or shuttle people from nursing homes that can't write their own name. You just march in anybody you want. It's first come, first vote, basically. If I walked in and said, I'm Jeff Chittister, before you, I win.
Yeah,
I get your vote.
Yeah, you're better looking than me, too. So they'd probably give you the application right away, the ballot. Once again, we're talking to Ed Nail.
You haven't seen me lately, Jeff.
We're talking to Ed Nail, Coalition New Hampshire Taxpayers. We've actually come near the end of our interview. You know, we've been talking about voter fraud, but, you know, I would be remiss, Ed, if I didn't remind people that the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers does an awful lot more than just voter fraud. What are some of the other things that you guys help focus on?
A to Z, assessments to zoning. I mean, you name it, right to know, budget. I mean, the stuff that comes through our door is amazing, and we track a lot of it, and we have a library of issues we've been involved with. You can't even imagine the stuff people come through our door with, you know, the things that have happened to them in these different towns. And we just sit down and say, okay, what is your complaint? What are the statutes? What are the best way to resolve it? We'll help you do that. We can't come to your town and do it for you. You have to do it yourself. But we help those who are willing to help themselves, and we very rarely lose an issue. There's a couple. There's that the town in Windsor where they don't have to pay taxes if you're a friend of the town clerk. There's Atkinson, and then this voter fraud thing. Other than that, since 2000, we've won a lot of different issues, almost everything we've been involved in. So we'd like to get voter fraud off our desk. You know, we'd like to have some photo ID and get an attorney general that really cares about it, would prosecute once or twice just so people would know that they actually still do that here in this state.
Outstanding. Once again, Ed Nail, Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers. If you want to join up with the Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers, please go to their website, cnht.org, cnht.org. I'll link it up at jeffchittister.com. Go up there, get on their email list so that you can be well-informed and ready. Don't wait till the issue actually happens to you. Be an advocate and join up with them so that you're a little bit more prepared when these problems, A through Z, as Ed says, come across. Ed, thank you on such short notice for coming back on the show. And we'd love to have you back on.
No problem, Jeff, anytime.
And once again, that was Ed Nail, Coalition of New Hampshire Taxpayers. We'll bring him back on other issues as well. We'll be right back on New Hampshire Perspective.